Amen. Good to be with you again this evening. Your church has been very gracious. It's good to see your smiling faces tonight once again. And your church staff has done a good job of hosting us as missionaries. We've received many kindnesses and in the spirit of grace, things that we don't deserve. And we thank you for that. Enjoyed the time we had with the school this morning. Just a chance to talk about what we do and invest in the lives of your young people, many of your young people from the church. And so we really enjoyed that today. And I know this church is a church that strives to do things with excellence from the preaching ministry all the way down to everything that's done. And so we really do enjoy being with you and the chance to minister with you this week. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts this evening. We'll be in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, we talked about last night, kind of a global look at God's heart for the nations, including the people that are all around us, not just the nations of this world, but God's heart for all people, and how He desires to give mercy and shows great grace in that process, and willing to use us, wants to use us for that purpose. In Acts chapter 11, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 26. God has ordained the local church to be His instrument in this world to get the gospel out, to bring about the fame of the name of Jesus Christ. Here in Acts chapter 11, starting in verse number 19, we'll see how the word is spread and a church is started in the city of Antioch in Syria, now in the world now and day. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice, in Cyprus, in Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." We understand that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus Christ gave a commission to His disciples. He said, You will be my witnesses. Once the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses. Here in Jerusalem, and then in ever-expanding circles, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And we mentioned this last night, how that is a great encouragement to us, seeing that it started there in Jerusalem, and it's spread, and it's going out all over the world. And that's an exciting thing to see that God's plan is working. Jesus Christ had said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "I will build my church. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against it." So the church is on the move, and the church is expanding. And here we see in Acts chapter 11 of that expansion going out from Jerusalem, reaching out to this city of Antioch. Just a word about Antioch before we continue. Antioch was considered the third most important city in the Roman Empire behind Rome and Alexandria, Egypt. It was a diverse city. Because of its strategic location, a lot of commerce went through there. Josephus wrote during the first century that there was a population of about 25,000 Jews living there, but people from all over the known world at that time, because of the commerce, riches flowing from the east back toward Rome. It was a strategic location, a lot of commerce, kind of like a melting pot city with people from all parts of the world at that time coming together. It was a depraved city with a lot of pagan idolatry at that time. And so just to get an idea of how Antioch was, and this is the first church that we see that was composed of many Gentile believers as they left out from Jerusalem as a mainly Jewish population, and the church was there. But because of the persecution of Stephen, the believers are going out and they are spreading the good news. And here we have a church composed of mainly Gentile believers. Later on, we will see in Acts chapter 13 that this is going to be the first church that is actually active in sending out church planting missionaries with Paul and Barnabas and John Mark as they go through Asia Minor and plant churches. It's interesting in verse number 26 how the Bible describes the Christians there in Antioch, the believers, as they were first called Christians, party of Christ, followers of Christ, disciples of Christ here in Antioch. Interesting how it wasn't the church in Jerusalem where the Jews were, where it was first called Christians or those of the party of Christ, but right here in Antioch, a Gentile city. So tonight I want to look at the DNA of this Christ-centered church. These are the type of believers that we want to be like. People that are on the move. People that are doing the work of God. This is certainly a church that was lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, as we shall see. So as we get into this, number one, or the first point tonight, we'll find in verses 19 and 20, we see that this church was involved in a diverse outreach. Look with me as the Bible points out in verse number 19 and 20. And now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. This was a transitional time, and they were doing what they saw Jesus Christ do, although Jesus did make incursions into Gentile world and talked with Gentiles. He mainly focused on the Jews. Yet before he ascended back to heaven, he said, I want you to take this word to the uttermost part of the earth. And so we see them going out and they're speaking to people like they are, reaching out to Jewish people, a very inclusive evangelism. But then we see in verse number 20, and some of them, which were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they changed that evangelism where it was more of an inclusive. Before it was exclusive evangelism, where it was only to the Jews. And now we see an inclusive evangelism where they were also talking to the Grecians, the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. The gospel means good news. The good news that God's Son died for our sins, was buried and rose again, that He offers forgiveness of sins to those who put their faith in Him. But the gospel isn't good news unless it's for everyone. And we see here this church in Antioch, this group of believers that became known as Christians, part of the band of Christ, identifying with Jesus Christ. This church, this Christ-centered church, was known for its outreach, its diverse outreach, not to the Jews only, but also to the Gentiles. These were gospel pioneers willing to leave their comfort zone to take the gospel to all humanity. The church should be a cross-section of the community it's in. The church should be just a slice of that community. We should be able to see, however the community is composed, we should see that cross-section inside the church. because the church is willing to reach out and bring people in and give the gospel to everyone in their community. Now, Jesus was comfortable with talking with anyone. We see that in His ministry. He was comfortable speaking with a Samaritan woman. He was comfortable speaking to a traitorous tax collector, a rich young snob, a Gentile maniac, a physically challenged man, an extrovert blind man. He was comfortable speaking to all types of people, all walks of life. Didn't matter about the background. He was loving on them, and He was attracting needy people. Why was Jesus attracting needy people? I believe because He loved and served and ministered to needy people. And so if we are not attracting needy people, I wonder if it's because they know that we don't love like Christ loved. That we're not showing that we want to minister. We might be holding those needy people off at an arm's length, like, this is not convenient, not right now. I don't have time for this. This church had a diverse outreach in the way that they approached ministry. They were not only going to a specific group of people, they showed that everyone, anyone, could receive the gospel. The gospel, the good news, is only good news if it's for everyone. Number two, we also see a distinct message. This Christ-centered church, this church that had its identity in Christ, not only did it have a diverse outreach, it had a distinct message. The Bible says in verse number 20:21, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Why were they in Antioch? Why were these believers in Antioch? Verse number 19 explains why they were in Antioch. They were scattered abroad because they were a persecuted people. They had received persecution for their faith. And so here they are going to Antioch. They were displaced because of persecution, and they were going to Antioch. But their message was still a distinct message, still the same message. They were lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I think it would have been easy for them to focus on the injustices that happened to them back where they came from. Let me tell you what happened to me back there. Let me tell you what I've suffered. It would be easy to focus on the hurt. It would be easy to focus on the injustices and have a message of, hey, that's wrong. That was foul. They were treating us wrong. And really that inward focus of me and what happened to me. They were probably, or they could have, kind of withdrawn inside themselves and said, well, look what happened back there. I've been displaced because of my gospel identification, my method, my identification with Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a little more careful about who I talk to and what I do. And I don't want to be too open about this because I don't want the same thing to happen. Yet here we see that this group of believers that were identified with Jesus Christ, their message was a distinct message. It wasn't social injustice. It wasn't I've been treated wrong. It wasn't all about themselves. They were doing what Jesus Christ had asked them to do. And they were taking that gospel message, even to the risk of their physical well-being once again. And as a church that identifies with Jesus Christ, we need to have that same type of outlook. We need to have that same clear-sounding message. Everyone is included in our gospel. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our message. As we continue looking through this passage, we see a divine growth. Acts chapter 11, in verse number 21. The Bible says, as a result, we see of the preaching, the Lord Jesus and the hand of the Lord was with them. and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So here they are in this large city, this metro area, this melting pot where a lot of commerce, a lot of idolatry, a crossroads for travelers in the world at that time. And here they are, including all people in their gospel message, not discriminating on what people look like or what their ethnic background was or what language they spoke. Here they are, intentionally including all people in their gospel witness, proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying with Jesus, with their message, and we see God giving them divine growth. And the hand of the Lord was with them. John MacArthur points out that in the Old Testament, the phrase "the hand of the Lord" meant two things. First, it spoke of God's power expressed in judgment, but it also referred to God's power expressed in blessing. In this case, it was related to God's blessing so that a large number who believed turned to the Lord. We see that God honored their message. Their message was Jesus Christ. And they were distinct in their message. And they were including all people in their message, not just Jews only, but also the Gentiles. And God honored them being intentional about their witness. The hand of the Lord was with them. The blessing of the Lord was upon them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And God will always bless a church that's faithful to His message. God will build His church. Jesus will build His church. And we do not have to compromise to see growth in the local church. We can see divine growth, growth that God brings by being faithful to the Word of God and letting that be our message and making sure that people know, hey, we include you, we love you and we want you, but we stand on the Word of God and this is who we are. Our identity is in Jesus Christ and being like Jesus Christ, loving on people and sharing with them the truth of His Word. It's interesting as we look through the book of Acts, the growth that God gave as His people were faithful to the Word of God. They started with 120 in the upper room in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 2, we see 3,000 added to the church. In Acts chapter 4, we see 5,000 men. Later on, we see that they're not giving specific numbers anymore. Now there's a great multitude. And after that, it says, then it's multiplying. It's just growing and growing and growing. And it's God adding to His church. That's the kind of growth we want to see. That's the kind of church on mission that we need to be a part of. So as we walk through this group that's in Antioch, this group of displaced believers that were being faithful to Jesus Christ, including all people in their gospel message, a cross-section of their community, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, seeing divine growth as a result of their faithfulness to the Word of God. We also see as they continued in this, I mean, this was a transitional time. These believers were displaced. They didn't go out in a church plant per se, like we see today, where there's a man that's been ordained in the ministry and he's being sent out to plant a church and a group is added to that church. We see these believers are displaced and they're just spreading the good news. They're spreading the Word of God and people are converting, but they need leadership. They need establishment. And so the church in Jerusalem sends a representative, Barnabas, to see what's going on here. Acts chapter 11, verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord, like super glue, cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas brought gifted leadership. We see in this church a gifted leadership. And I'm talking about not eloquence or not presence or personality. I'm talking about Holy Spirit giftedness. Here we see a church that is identified with Christ, where they are called Christians, the party of Christ for the first time in this world. They are going to send out missionaries very soon. This church had gifted, Holy Spirit gifted leadership. The Bible talks about Barnabas. Barnabas we find for the first time in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. The Bible says in Acts 4, 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. This was a nickname given to Joseph, because he is the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You see an encourager, a kind man, a generous man. In Acts chapter 9, we find Barnabas again, where he made the connection with Saul, the terrorist, the persecutor in the church. And Barnabas helps bring him in and make that link. So here we find Barnabas once again. And the Bible says in verse 24 of Acts chapter 11, he was a good man. He was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. So we find that God blessed the believers getting out and evangelizing inclusively. And He added divine growth to their number. But they needed that leadership. They needed to establish that assembly into a body sanctioned by the local church of Jerusalem at the time. And so Barnabas comes in and he's helping to lay that foundation. And he's a Holy Spirit gifted man. The Bible says full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And once again, we see and much people was added unto the Lord once that church had that Holy Spirit gifted leader. As we continue through this, we see also in this church a discipleship focus. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 25 and 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Why is he going to seek Saul? He had made that connection with the church in Jerusalem. Saul had gone to his home place. And Barnabas goes to Tarsus to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And they're going to minister together. They're going to work as a team. They're going to disciple together. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. They've formed this group of believers into a church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians. So here we see in Antioch a church on the move. A church that is actively involving and engaging their community. They have a cross section of their community in their church. They are proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is adding to the church. They have a Holy Spirit gifted leader, and they are working as a team to disciple the believers. And we have that summary statement where the Bible says, and the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, the disciples were called Christians. They were identified with Christ, a church, a group of believers that were identified with Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13, in verse number 1, we find there were two leaders. As we finalize chapter 11, now we find five leaders. Five that are part of this leadership teaching team. And there were certain in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So we see here a church that was birthed because of persecution. A group of believers that said, the gospel isn't only for the Jews, it's for all people. The good news has got to be for all people, everyone. lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, a very distinct message. God adding to the church, God bringing that gifted leadership in to establish that church. Now that church, with discipleship going on, has multiplied their leadership and now has the luxury of sending out a church planting team to go out and plant more churches in all of Turkey, Asia Minor. Beautiful. Beautiful. A Christ-centered church. Now, Landmark, that's where we need to be. That's where the church I participate needs to be. And we are the church. And this is how we need to be. We need to be inclusive in our gospel. We should have a cross-section of the community right here. If there are Hispanics, we need Hispanics in here. Everybody that's in our community needs to be represented right here in this church as a slice of the community, as a foreshadowing of how it will be in heaven one day. We need to have a distinct message as we talk to people. Jesus Christ lifted up and exalted, the fame of His name. We need to have in the church a divine growth, and it's going to come about when we focus on that distinct message, that gospel of Jesus Christ and faithfulness to the Word of God. God has provided gifted leadership here. And it's going to be beautiful as you make disciples and as you train leaders to see men and women leaving from this ministry and getting out and doing the same thing in other places. The influence that you will have all over the world. A Christ-centered church. May Landmark Baptist Church, in any ministry we're involved in, be such a place where Christ is lifted up and we are a church on mission. Father, thank You so much for showing us in Your Word, Your heart, what You desire. We know that Jesus Christ was so compassionate, so loving, willing to talk to anybody, wanting to show a tangible love and bring them to faith in God's plan of a Messiah, a Savior. And Father, thank You for establishing a church right here in Louisville. And may this church be a Christ-centered ministry, a church identified with Jesus, on the move, doing what You have called us to do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.